Warning, a reference is made in this episode to suicide. Season 4, Episode 10, The Friendly Prosecution. When one prosecutes nicely, Alan introduces a model of prosecution adopted by the National Heavy Vehicle Regulator that provides guidance and focuses on the most important prosecutorial issues. Alan and Trage dream of dismantling ideological boundaries. What is our purpose? Sarah is excited by what she sees as the favourable view of design. Hey Mum, hey Dad, are we becoming thought leaders? Thank you to subscriber Craig McDonald for raising considerations in the rail industry and the impact with causational chain of responsibility. Thank you to all our listeners who help us guide and shape these episodes. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to the Why Work podcast series. You are listening to Trace Vitkovsky, Sarah Pazell and Alan Girl. Now, Alan, without trucks, Australia stops.
You've been wanting to say that.
I've been chafing at the bit to say that.
All right. Well, we've had a few listeners asking about the trucking industry, and we have some listeners at the National Heavy Vehicle Regulator, and I just want to talk about the National Heavy Vehicle Regulator because it's doing things differently, and it's really fascinating looking at what it's doing at the moment. So in terms of design, they've redesigned how they're doing business, and cool. It may be that others will follow.
Tell me about
please.
It, Alan. So, tell us about it.
Now you've got Sarah's interest.
Yeah, there's a few things they're doing that traditionally just doesn't happen in many other places. One of the things is they wrote a judicial guide. So they wrote a guide for judges that are going to hear their cases.
Ooh.
And it's a nice document. It's a good quality document. Mm-hmm. Now, that's out-of-the-box thinking. They're not the first, but it's definitely out-of-the-box thinking and really clever.
How do you think judges receive that? Are they offended by that, or is that useful to them?
I think because it's a high-quality document that they would find it very useful.
Tell us about it, Alan. This is like sentencing guidelines. This is like guidelines. Tell us about it.
It is. Of course, it's not binding, and it's a prosecution view, but it's written in a very balanced way. So I suspect defence lawyers will draw upon it too. I suspect it will become a commonplace document that gets used in court processes. Mm. I also saw the other day too, they've got another really interesting thing. They've got a very helpful page for people charged, and it gives people charged advice on how they can respond to the court process, what they can do on their first return, and if they want to contest the charge, how they can go about contesting the charge.
It's like legal aid, but
coming out of the prosecutor's office.
It's funny. It's not groundbreaking, but it is because it's coming from within the health and safety space.
And again, very well written.
Yes.
Very objective and fair.
Wow.
And again, out of the box thinking, just not done by anyone else. And it creates the director of prosecutions, who's just resigned and she'll be replaced, but she used the phrase that they're trying to prosecute nicely. And I think by that, prosecute nicely. It's a funny phrase, isn't it?
Can I reflect on that with somebody without anywhere near your background in the legal world? That says to me, in a yoga brain, gentle, and so that means in a way that's transparent, in a way that is irrefutable, can protect everybody through the process in a way that is clear. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Also, perhaps being there's less polarization.
Mm-hmm.
It means the arguments are going to be about issues rather than just mudslinging.
Oh, the drama, though. And, the Judge Judy drama.
There'll still be drama on the issues, but hopefully the drama will be on the issues and nothing else. Now, the results speak for themselves because the National Heavy Vehicle Regulator, when they first took over, fines were around the $1,500 mark.
Mm.
And they just recently got a fine well over $2 million, going up to the $2.5 million. So fines are enormously different. I think the average fine that's coming out of the National Heavy Vehicle Regulator now is $60,000.
Mm.
So in the beginning of my career, you were looking at $1,000 and now it's $60,000. Wow. So yeah, it's leapt up a lot.
Right.
Yeah, very interesting organization, and I understand that we could well be looking at some serious jail term, jail time, for someone who's currently going through the court system. So.
Changed. Yeah, you just didn't really hear much about the activities going there, and yeah, suddenly it's getting
very clever. Yeah. And they do have moments in time where they stop and they think about what were they set up to achieve, and are they doing the right things to achieve those goals? And I know that they feel that they've got a lot further to go. So, it's refreshing when you hear an organisation say, we've made good progress, but we've got a lot further to go, and say it genuinely.
Yeah, so anyway, that's a really important, great development around it, because we often forget about certainly trucking, and, you know, when you think about it, the size of Australia and the amount of work that's undertaken by heavy vehicles.
Mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing. Did you say safety differently before, or was that my imagination? Was that my mind playing tricks? You said something about differently.
I wouldn't use that catchphrase. That's,
You said
something differently. So they're doing something different. Anyway, it got me thinking about
prosecuting nicely.
About their level of thought. So in mining, I find that level of humility frequently, believe it or not, there's a lot of humility around the ideas that here is our thinking now, and it might not be our thinking of tomorrow, and we recognize that. So they use leading practice instead of best practice, because it means it's continually evolving, that we don't have all the answers. We, at least with the rigor of everything, these think tanks, we're trying to come up with, this is our level of our thinking now. We realize it'll change tomorrow. And we understand that if we're going to tackle a new problem, as you said, we might have to be very novel, learn from other industries, have a new approach, and understand that our ability to resolve this problem should not be used with the same mindset that was used to create it. And that's the type of thinking I'm like, why we prompt, let's review the hierarchy controls. Let's review our consideration of these kinds of things. Let's keep challenging ourselves. Just provoke good thought.
And when we have boundaries, and every organization, of course, has its ideological boundaries. Maybe they're not boundaries. Maybe you can push them out and do things differently.
Yeah, we don't need boundaries. That's right.
A little more fluid and the three pillars.
Yeah,
that's my theme today. I'm writing a book chapter about it, in case you hadn't noticed, while I've been obsessing this. And I've really been going through the history of sociopolitical forces on all three pillars.
When you look at all the regulators, they're all different, but and they all have their own personality. But it would be really useful for many of the regulators to just stop and say, what's our purpose? Why are we actually prosecuting?
What are we trying to achieve? Exactly. Yeah. What's our purpose? Yeah. Go back and evaluate that again and again.
Mm. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. Are we becoming thought leaders?
I'm just an agitator, rabble-rouser, I think.
It's good, though.
I'm never satisfied, Trey. No, did you notice? It's
good. The thing is, look, it's important, because I think, you know, reflecting a year that's been and a year that will be and so on, we raise this stuff thanks to our listeners. They prompt us with ideas. I think ultimately, if you go after you've listened to these episodes, and if you do think about some aspect of your work, it may be indirectly as a result of listening to an episode like Dylan with episode 2 or 3 and the motel. It doesn't matter. The point is, if you start suddenly become sort of thought provoking in that experience, then our job's done.
Well,
agent provocateur.
Can I throw something at you that came to us a while ago, and we haven't had the chance to really wrangle with this? And this is from Craig McDonald, who works in Rail, right? So one of our regular subscribers. And he's thrown a question your way. So again, I'll throw it out there and I'll let you mull it over. But in rail industry, since we're thinking transportation, he's asked, if the government controls CapEx on rail infrastructure, could they be considered in any way, shape or form, a secondary PCBU, person conducting a business or undertaking? What's their level of responsibility in what I've been talking about today of enduring impact, EI, about eliminating and removing hazards based on what they've commissioned for design?
Okay, so that question was phrased as could they be?
Could.
And my answer is absolutely yes.
Right, elaborate.
Well, anyone who The government is similar to the private sector.
Yep.
And so the principles that applies if an entity has control or influence over another entity, doesn't matter how they're exercising the control or influence, if that first entity is aware that the way it is behaving is going to affect safety standards in the second entity, then it has to put its mind to its corporate mind, or in the government, state mind, to what impact it's having and whether it's doing everything that's reasonably practicable to make sure that workers and other people are safe.
Yeah, I would add, you can't just simply outsource the daily grind. You can't hollow out your duty. You may or may not be right for it, because the operative word there was could. There may be concurrent duty holders. At the end of the day, if there is some nexus, if there is some connection with the thing that you do, and that somehow impacts another person, then you potentially be, could is the operative word, you could be right
for it. So chain of responsibility is what I think I hear you saying.
Causational chain.
Causation chain
is used in law quite a fair bit, the idea of proximity, each linkage. So the closer those links, the likelihood of perhaps you being caught in that sphere of responsibility.
In ergonomics, we would call that couplings. You know, what are your couplings? Yeah, strong are those couplings?
I like that word, couplings.
It's a C word, back to 2023.
Yeah.
We're still in 2023.
I'm a retro kind of guy.
I'm still going to put them on the website, guys.
I'm a retro kind of guy. I think
for that question, though, is it likely that there would be a prosecution? I think it's unlikely there'd be a prosecution, but that's not to say there wouldn't be discussions in the background.
Yeah. Because if you think about that critical piece of infrastructure and who's responsible, or again, that responsibility at the material time, who was doing what, all of that would come under observation and under examination. So it's possible.
So let me give you another hypothetical about near misses and high consequence workplaces. And, this can be discussed in rail industry as good as any, that if you have an event and you ask your superiors to try and help review that, do you get access to the footage? You know, is there footage if they're sort of a near miss? Who are they trying to protect? And what happens when you then start to feel like a nuisance, when you're really trying to be part of that resolution? I hear that in mining too. Underground miners say, I was making, shotcrete decisions, and I just wanted to make an understand if I was accurate based on the specifications for any of the mechanical engineering design strategies. I hear this in rail. If something's happened in rail, can I come back and have a look at the footage? That's just a general question, because interestingly, there's concerns about psychosocial laws and how will the person conducting a business or undertaking be required to eliminate or minimize these risks, like we've just talked about, or the consequences when some of those decisions are made by the government about those constraints and the design. And if they have a contract to run a service, like mining contracts or rail contracts, the concern is about what they do in reaction to traumatic events, that it is reactive instead of proactive. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, certainly Craig's observation has been about the presence of mental health first aiders. We've had a whole episode about that.
It's a big issue in the rail sector.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they have so many suicides on rail.
Suicides on rails. Are you okay, champions, right? You get trauma booklets, a little education, trauma incidences, somewhat reactive. There is a human factors organization that has worked with the government to do some virtual reality training experiences about suicide. But again, we've talked about training, high fidelity, very important, but go back up to original design. What could you be done in the design? Because, for example, this is just hearsay. I'm just quoting from, hearsay. In New South Wales, they may have removed level crossings and points the public can cross.
Yeah.
And every 1 or 2 minutes, you've got crossings that the public can access.
Shout out to one of the human factors speakers, Christy Trudgett. We're now LinkedIn colleagues.
Yeah, tell me.
Christy Trudgett presented on this very issue was about the creation, in light of all the psychosocial stress, the creation of those concave physical barriers to prevent or minimise any likelihood of trauma for rail employees. So Christy Trudgett has been doing some excellent work in that space, and her paper was fascinating. Oh, I think you were in another
session.
There were concurrent sessions. It was very thought-provoking.
When you do those basic barriers, they're a deterrent. When somebody's really intent on committing suicide, loss of life, they will find a way. But when there are deterrents, the spontaneous or the drunken episodes certainly go down. I know in bridge design, that's considered in structural design on bridges, and you'll find more and more some of that extra high curved barbed wire to be a deterrent. Won't stop everybody, but it is taking away some of that spontaneous element. But it's a design structure and system. And again, where's that responsibility? Who authorizes that budget? Where does that sit with line of responsibility? Because there are design strategies that can help.
Yeah, it was a large scale research project involving various parties, but it was a direct response to that very issue that you'd raised about trauma associated with suicide and those workers exposed. Yeah.
The next person to come to the dinner. And is it only one or two?
You are.
Confirm
Alan.
Exactly that list to make sure we're not awkwardly got an extra person, right?
But you know what? I hope all the other things have been taken. You know, there is something I need to get off my chest. and Alan, you might know as well, either of you are going to throw it out there.
There's nothing to be ashamed of.
No, you know I both love my music, but I'm wondering, do you think I'm becoming a curmudgeon?
Imagine that wants tablets written in stone instead of internet communication.
Look, I'm going to leave to a story.
That is so ridiculous. You are surrounded in technology at the moment.
No,
by curmudgeon, I also mean that cranky, tetchy.
That's just Eastern European.
Snippy. it's more than that. I'm going to tell you about my experience in a minute. So I feel I'm becoming one of those, you know, the two old Muppets who sit in the balcony.
I love those guys.
Yeah, who are they
again? I love those.
Just cranky. I think I am becoming a curmudgeon. And I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the previous episode, we talked about decibels and the sound of the whippersnipper and the gardener at the school and so on and so forth, the noise.
Dattler and Waldorf.
Yeah,
Virginia,
I think I'm,
right.
Hang on, it was the worst thing I ever heard. That's Dattler, I think I'm becoming Dattler, right? Yeah, or Waldorf, maybe both. Maybe I'm telling you
both.
But I'll tell you why I think I'm becoming a curmudgeon. And you know about the music background, for those of you who've been listening to the soundtracks. Well, we've got building going on, and it's been going on for ages. There's banging, there's bashing, and they're mostly compliant. But I've had to chip the lads a couple of times. The music was loud, but when I say loud, if you were to measure it, just like you were to measure a power tool, it would clearly exceed the required decibels. So I won't get silly.
And what time of day, night, morning is this?
Oh, no, during work time.
Okay, but just...
But it was just... I could handle the power tools. I'm into industrial music. I could handle the crash, the bash, the wallop. But the music just kept creeping up. And I said, look, boys, so it's all good. Work's carrying on. And in a way, I'm glad that the more they work, the quicker they can finish this damn renovation, right? It's all happening. So a couple of times they say, guys, the music is really loud. One time was when we were doing one of our Y Work Skype things, and it was distracting me. It was that dissonance, and I could hear it. And hey, it's noise pollution. The moment you can hear it and it's affecting my pleasure. Yeah, but as I said, I'm into music, so I know a thing or two about loud music, right? I was getting a little bit annoyed. And
I like the hedonistic goal, my pleasure.
It's effective. And I just went, guys, can you just tune it down a bit? Yeah, sure, no worries. And guess what? They turned it down.
Mm.
It was good. And creep up again a couple of weeks later. I say, guys, they would. But it came to the fore on the exhibition holiday. Now, you don't need to...
Oh, the ECHA.
You don't need to Google.
I went to the ECHA this year, my first time.
Oh, there you go. Well, I wish these guys...
First time.
I wish these guys had gone to the ECHA. So you don't need to Google where not power tools cannot be used, particularly if you're a QBCC license holder. Sunday is one day. Public holidays are another day. So it was 6:30 and the boys rocked up.
Oh, yeah, that's a bit wrong.
The boys rocked up. So I start to bristle because I do know about certain compliance issues. I start to bristle and think, okay, that's cool. I'm a progressive kind of person. I know a lot of our listeners can relate to some of this. I thought, you know what? They're going to be around. They're probably going to move a bit of sheeting, and that's okay. Do a bit of work. I'm okay with that. But of course, if I hear a yeah or a power tool, gloves are off. I didn't hear that. That was 6:30. At 6:33, I go and empty the veggie waste into the compost bin because it's what you do in our area. And then it happened. Exceeding way past 85 decibels, then it happened. The blood just boiled.
You got blood-curdling anger happening in this kitchen. Did you have it? There's an app, you know, a DBA app to check the decibels.
But people will understand what I just, no, this was well and truly beyond. You didn't need to measure it. No, this was.
I know, but if you want evidence to counsel or whoever, right?
Yeah, this was noise bleeding loud, so much so that, you know, I would have done the whole call the council, taken photographs. But guess what was the trigger?
Tell us.
6:33 a.m. I emphasise AM.
Holiday day. Holiday.
Public holiday, the Ecker holiday. Whilst I should be preparing to go to the Ecker, like Sarah, instead, I hear. Working class man! I hear Barnsley. Cold chisel. And let me assure our listeners, we may lose
Seriously?
A few listeners here.
They're still playing that.
They're playing it. And I just lost it. And you can imagine just how I would have lost it. I think Alan's nodding. Can imagine. So he said, I'm sorry. He turned it off. And I said, turn it off, pack up your tools and get out. So nothing happened for about half an hour. And I said, clearly you have no idea what the definition of, and I just went into my full mode. they all disappeared. So,
funny that.
But day was ruined by then because I'd lost the plot and really, really lost the plot. Like, I mean, I really lost it.
I hate being pushed to that edge.
I actually said, so now I sound like I'm the W.
Curmudgeon.
Why should I be the one now I, so
another
I'm sort
C
of,
word, curmudgeon. We got
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so
going.
I just lost it. And, you know, then I felt a bit sorry
cranky.
For him.
Cranky.
So anyway, so the next day the builder, he pulled me over aside and goes, listen, about yesterday, I'm really sorry about that. I didn't realise it was a public holiday. And I said, oh, didn't you? He goes, yeah, look, we're not from this area. And I thought, okay, that's cool. He said, no, I sent them home, actually sent them to my place to do some work. Sorry about that. So it was all fine. And then, you know, that's what we've been on first name basis. But it wasn't the loud music per se. When you get Barnsley going off at 6:33 a.m. and you probably know by my music background, yeah.
That's classic music.
Yeah, it might
iconic
be for you.
Aussie, iconic Aussie.
Yeah, well, no, Alan's into all that and Dragon and AC/DC and all that. But you're gathered by my musical taste. And I like loud music, but it's got to be electronic and techno. So that was my rant. So I'm going to throw it out to this. Do you, either of you, think it's appropriate
to have techno nail guns? That'd be great.
Oh, I'd like that. No. Do you think it's appropriate?
To go party at 6:30 in the morning next to somebody, a neighbour's house?
I'm going to be broader than that. Do you think it's appropriate for, and I know music can derive that affective pleasure, I know that, but do you believe workers should play their music, whether it's doof electronic or whatever, on the work site? Because it's a work site. It's a construction.
It's an interesting question.
Context matters.
No, loud. Loud. I can hear it in my bathroom. I'm trying to have a shave.
But are you saying workers that, like, where are they? Are they next to other people might be offended by this, infected by it? That's the question.
No, more technically, they are polluting the air because you can hear it and it's affecting your quiet enjoyment. Do you think it's appropriate? Now, you can't avoid the power tools, air guns and so on, but your B105 list or your Spotify list, do you think it's acceptable, or am I just being a curmudgeon? And that's what I want to throw out to you guys and also our listeners. Am I being a real stick in the mud? Loud music on the website.
You're being a stick in the mud.
I think it's fair that it was blasting at your home on a holiday at 6:30 a.m. to be upset, but music on, context matters. Music that lifts spirits and keeps everybody buoyant and happy and makes a more enjoyable experience and alert that isn't too distracting to what they need to achieve depending on the task that they're doing, task-based and context matters, not affecting people and not contributing to noise pollution, different, right?
Yeah.
So those considerations must be made.
And also, you know, working on a site where you've got loud power tools, you'd have to be concerned about the workers' hearing.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, you know, maybe they've suffered hearing loss.
So, the two issues there. One is the actual music on that site.
Mm.
So the distraction and possibility of, because music's layered, as you know, so it's cumulative. So as you put one sound, another sound, you each decibel rating goes up. So apart from that immediate health consideration of those workers there.
Which is actually more cumulative than immediate if you look at its cumulative exposures over time where hearing loss arises.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And also exposure to hand, arm, or whole body vibration because noise is that vibration measure.
That's
affects
right.
the exposures to vibration in the body too.
Yeah, so there's that. However, for me, it was beyond that. It was at what point does that, and yeah, music obviously makes you feel good. I mean, look at Alan's dancing around now as we speak.
Just thinking about it.
He's just thinking about it. Look, he's jigging away. He can't stop.
Yeah, but Jimmy Barnes, here we go.
Feathers are flapping.
Yeah, so, but once that good times, and obviously as the, and I mentioned it, as the hours went up, the music went up. So clearly having a good time. But that's when it encroaches, and that's and I kind of think at what
anywhere near the bee man?
No, he's up the road. I've noticed these bees have gone.
Oh,
they've buzzed off. But they'll come back. Winter. I don't know what the cycle of bees
like
are. But
anyway,
the beehive's still there.
Yeah, they're still there, but the bees gone. So anyway, so that was my gripe. It's all about to play or not to play. That is the question. And have that
play at the right time in the right place, right task, right.
Right level.
Instance at the right level.
So I'd say mostly they are compliant, but I guess that trigger point was the public holiday, but obviously that was building up over time. So anyway, so maybe others haven't thought about it, but I have noticed in sites more and more music being played because you can buy those really fancy industrial, have you seen them? Those speakers?
Boom boxes, right.
Boom boxes.
Yeah,
but,
with speakers, yep.
And, but they're made by Milwaukee Tools, another really cool Makita and Milwaukee.
Like workwear.
And, yeah,
right.
It's all part of this fetishization of building. It's a fetish. You've got to have a fancy speaker. Anyway,
and
I don't
it fits in your ute. That's the attachment to your big truck.
Right? See, this is the thing.
It's all linked to that big truck box. And the attachment.
Yeah, no, it just can't be any old boombox. It's got to be like a
Did they bring their dogs?
DeWalt. No.
Because the dogs fact, on the workplace, it's another thing, bringing
thing,
dogs on
Dogs
on
are
workmen.
Fine. Bring
See,
the dog to the side.
Dogs.
Bring the bloke with the Terry Telling hat and the stubby shorts and the thongs.
You're profiling.
You know, that's great. Well, that were my images of the vermis.
That had more charity.
Yes.
And cooperated.
Well, yeah, well, they did after I lost the plot. But anyway.
You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan, and if you really enjoyed this show, share this with a friend, submit your 5-star rating on your favourite podcast streaming service, keep listening and send in your stories. You can email us at hello@ywork.com.au and of course sign in to our newsletter. You can head straight to our website at www.ywork.com.au. We can't wait to learn about the trouble you've seen in the workplace. And remember, none of the things we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work, and we hope you enjoyed as much as we do. We love it. See you next time.